Today, we're continuing in our sermon series on the life we were made for. And Namdi will be talking about holiness and what it truly means. Now, towards the end of his talk, he will be using a visual, which, of course, we can't see on the phone, because he has got a very clever mug, which is dark. But when you pour water into it, suddenly the picture that's there is revealed. And I think it's the picture of friends of his. So when he gets to that point, that's what you need to imagine. But first, two short Bible readings, read first by Bill Wild and then by Andrea Lambert.
The reading is taken from John 10, verses 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading is from 1 Peter 1, verses 13 to 16. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy.
People of God, we will continue with our series of union with Christ. And today, we'll be looking at a new purpose, which is, what am I here for? What are you here for? Are we here just by accident to just live, marry, die, and that's it? What are we here for? The answer to this important question will define our purpose in life. And so theologians, philosophers, and a lot of people have tried to ask these questions for years and try to find a way also that they can be able to answer it. Union with Christ tells you a story about who you are. If you are in Christ, you have been given a new identity. God has called you into a new life rooted in a history that predates you, anchored in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. You discover who you are in Christ. You are given the DNA to prove it, and the Holy Spirit who empowers you to live a holy life. Jesus try to answer the question of what he was here for. So, during his first sermon in his hometown of Nazareth, as an honored guest at the synagogue worship on a particular Sabbath, he was invited to read the scroll, the Bible. He ended up reading the words of Isaiah chapter 61, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me to preach good news to the poor, freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So these are all the list of the things that he is here to do. What about me? What am I here for? What are you here for? That is a question all of us should be asking ourselves. The primary reason we live is to worship God in the beauty of his holiness. It is only when we discover who we are that we can worship him in the beauty of his holiness. Psalm 29 verse 2 charged us to do so. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Beauty is not what comes to mind when we hear holiness today. Holiness sounds boring, even off-putting. But God wants holiness for you. He wants it for me. It's not an optional extra reserved for very few. No. It is God's expectation for all his people at all times and in all places. We are holy people. Not many will agree that they are holy. A thorough and honest assessment of ourselves most times does not showcase us as a holy people. That time you finish your morning prayer, you go to the office and somebody just annoys you and you just lose your temper. And immediately you say, oh my God, what have I done again today? Does it mean that you are still not holy? You are still holy. Because by default, what Jesus has done on the cross has made you holy. That you have deviated a bit has not taken away that price that Jesus has paid for you. You are a holy people because of what Jesus did. Not because of what you have done, not because of who you are, but because of what he has done in your life. Through the shedding of his blood, we have been cleansed. And so by default, we are a holy people. This is the image of Christ that can be restored when we come back to him, whenever we realize that we are sorry, and he can restore that his image in us. Deuteronomy 7 verse 8 said, "For you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people, God has chosen us and has kept us aside as his own special treasure." So holiness means to set apart, to reflect God's character in all our ways, his goodness and love, his kindness, his compassion, his concern for justice and for the poor. It's not an optional extra reserved for just very few. That's why Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14 warned us that without holiness, no one will see God. It is God's expectation for all his people at all times and in all places. And so we need to tap into that holiness, which you can only find through union with Christ, through the work he has done, through our sanctification, the price that has been paid, which is finished, which is full, which is complete, and nothing more needs to be done. It is not what we can achieve by ourselves. Our holiness is complete and finished because Christ has joined his life to us. Our union with Christ gives us confidence that our holiness does not fall with our success or rise with our success. No. Holiness is both what we are and what we are called to become, for both are necessary. If we base our objective standing before God on our subjective day-to-day performance, we will continue to suffer spiritual depression. On days you do well, you feel great. On days you come crashing down, you begin to wonder what type of Christians you are. Up, down, up, down. And that makes you feel defeated. Unless you grasp and live out the union with Christ, the call to holiness will be oppressive, unbearable, and impossible. No matter how earnest or committed you may be, you keep falling in the same ditches over and over again. But there is the original you. Union with Christ will restore our original image of holiness, which sins and the cares of this life tend to muddle up. For example, we have this cup. This cup is completely dark. But what happens now is, when we put this hot water in it, something spectacular is going to happen. Look at this dark cup, and we're going to see what happens. This is what happens when we have accepted what Christ has done on the cross for us. Have you seen the beautiful picture that was hidden from this cup? This is what sin seems to do, to muddle us up, to cover us, to make us unholy. But anytime we tap into what God has done on the cross for us, our beauty shines forth. We begin to glow in the glory of God. And this is what God has done for us. So, people of God, we are a holy people, a chosen generation. If we tap into what God has done on the cross, which is by restoring us into the full image of God, we will shine like this cup. We will not be hidden in any way. The sins that has hidden us, God will wash it away, and He will renew us, and He will make us whole. We will shine like the morning star. We will be as bright and as beautiful as this cup, and we will never be modeled back again. And even when we fall, we can always go back to Him. That when we go to God, He will make us beautiful. And when we are beautiful, we can then worship Him in beauty. We can now worship Him in His beauty. And that is the reason why we live, to worship God in the beauty of His holiness.